aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Right from the beginning of the relationship. I don't know. Actually, people, lesbians are very complex. People in general are complex with their emotions and their feelings, and I think lesbians are even more so.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think lesbians are even more so?
Because of their own emotional insecurity. How many lesbians completely accept themselves as they are, have complete emotional stability, than you know of? Have complete mental maturity.
Well, I can't say that they're any more mentally insecure than the straight people I know. And in fact, a lot of studies have been done on that, that a lot of lesbians and gay men are quite well mentally adjusted. That's why the whole psychiatric association changed its stand. Remember, it used to be viewed as an illness,
mm-hmm.
and they changed its
right,
stand.
Yes, I remember that.
Because they said it wasn't true that you automatically were more mentally deranged. Is that your experience, that more people are insecure and unstable?
No, but I'm thinking now of some of the boys I know that I've known for years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a difficult question. It is a difficult question. Oh, well, okay, let me just, I guess I want to ask you, how do you think, what influences were important on, for you in keeping you to accept all sides of yourself? You know, it sounds to me like if in some relationships you're more masculine, another you're more feminine, that you do accept all sides of yourself. And I wondered if there were books that you read that were important to you, or Christian ideas, or, you know, what kind of influence?
Christian ideas, according to your Bible. homosexuality and lesbian is a no-no.
Okay, so what were the influences that helped you accept all sides of yourself?
I don't know. I guess I just realized I am what I am and I can't do much about it. And, I think I was gay from when I was born.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was 5 years old, my mother gave me one of those little automobiles that she pedaled. I think I told you this, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And the first spring day, I had it in 50 million pieces because I wanted to see what made it work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put it back together again, and I forever were taking things apart. Radios and hot water tanks and you name it. In fact, my one uncle, not realizing what he was saying, would always say, "You should have been a boy."
Mm-hmm.
Because of some of the mechanical bent that I had, electrical. And of course I did engineering at Trico, so.
But that's so interesting, because despite all that, in some relationships you were the more feminine. I find that fascinating to think about.
Well, it's just me.
That's just you. Okay, and what were the influences in creating just you? You can't think of any important ones.
Other than I read a lot, and I've always read a lot ever since I have been a child, even though even in public school, and summer vacation. Although I played with people, in fact, I had there's Betty and Virginia across the street that we three of us grew up together. She entered the convent, and I hadn't seen her in years, and I had her over the house last night for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I played a lot, but I considered it a day loss that I didn't read at least one book
mm-hmm.
a day on summer vacation. My mother always said, "You're going to go blind someday. You eat it. You read at breakfast because I wouldn't let her get up for breakfast because she'd get up for so many years. You read at breakfast. I don't doubt that you read a lot on your lunch hour. You're a librarian. I was a technical librarian. You read at dinner, but I won't let you. But then you read at evening and you read before you go to bed. You're going to lose your eyesight." Whether it's because I have always read a great deal, mm-hmm. that influenced me.
What do you like to read?
Fiction, nonfiction, history.
Who's your favorite novel?
Oh, I don't know. I read them all. I like what some of the things that Taylor Caldwell wrote, because I thought their parts and description were quite good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's some books I read from a study viewpoint, and there's some viewpoints, some books I read just for the sheer mental relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
But I read everything and anything.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's five of us that have a book club going, and we rotate books.
Are they lesbians? Five lesbians or
no,
five people?
Straight.
Five straight women?
I'm the only one that's gay.
And all the rest are women?
No, all the rest are women and straight.
Huh.
We go to our park together. We go to on trips, like we went out to Nova Scotia last year ago last summer. We're going up to Simcoe to see the lights December 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have straight friends as well. Mm-hmm. That I don't doubt that some of them might know that I'm gay, but accept me.
Mm-hmm.
We have never discussed it. But obviously the professor, the doctor who teaches at Canisius, studied enough and knows enough about it, and hates marriage, and her husband committed suicide and said she'd never get married again. And the reason she got married in the first place was because at that time at Cornell, that was the end thing to do if you wanted to be part of the social swing. I would imagine if Sue let herself go, she could be gay.
Mm-hmm.
But as she kiddingly said one time, when she was talking about marriage, and I just listened, she said that, I suppose I could be gay, but it would be too much trouble or something like that.
How'd you meet her?
Through some mutual friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Through Trico or?
No, it's not a friend.
Okay. You know, I forgot, you became a technical librarian, right? And then what did you do?
There.
You finished in that position of technical librarian.
Which involved engineering research.
Engineering research. And your degree was in a master's in library?
No. I never got a degree. I had a certificate in engineering from UB.
A certificate. Is that, what's
two-year
a certificate?
Program.
2-year program.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, all your education was self-education.
Mm-hmm.
So you never ended up with a BA
no,
or a master's?
Because I did my scholastic work at night.
Uh-huh.
Because my dad died when I was 2, and my adopted father and my mother supported me, and I wanted to quit school at 16, not because I wasn't doing well in high school, but because I wanted to get out and work and help her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me at that point, she said, you're going to get a high school diploma if you go to your 90.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was grateful for, because then after I started working, she also wanted me to go to college, but I didn't know what I wanted to be,
mm-hmm.
other than a doctor. That would have fascinated me, but of course I knew that was out of the question financially. So I was grateful for that, because then when I did go to college at night, if I hadn't had the high school diploma, I could have never gone.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And your mother, what kind of work did she do to support you?
She was assistant buyer at Hems and Keller.
Assistant buyer at Hems and Keller?
Jewelry, the notions, leather goods, she shipped the pregnancy.
So she must have been a quite strong woman to raise you.
Mm-hmm. She's smart looking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Very smart. She could make a dollar more than anybody I know, and yet she was very generous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had my first watch when I was in kindergarten. I got an allowance all my life. I got my first car when I was 18, when I graduated from high school. She was good to me. And yet she worked and earned, because she'd only been married 5 years when her husband died.
And so then she raised you all by herself?
Yeah, I was only 2 years old. This is why I think in a lesbian relationship it's not fair to the child, because of the lack of masculine balance there.
Why? Did you feel it was?
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, I would have liked to have had a father. I got a stepfather when I was 22. And he's very gay. Well, hello there. How are you? Now, whether that, I still maintain though that I was a lesbian from the time I was born, because I was. I had predominantly masculine characteristics all my life. Okay, come on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why I accept myself the way I do. I don't know.
So, and all the time you worked really after you got started, when did you start working at Trico?
When I graduated from high school.
And so you worked there your entire work life?
Mm-hmm.
And
but I never was at one job more than 6 years, and every time I changed jobs, it was always a promotion and an increase in pay.
Mm-hmm.
So I never got bored.
Mm-hmm. And you ended up as a technical librarian?
Mm-hmm. Because of my knowledge of engineering and the fact that I had been in tool design and worked at tool design there, and had been in inspection and understood why machines did what and how and so on. And the only reason I took the tool design job was if I could work in the tool room for a month, so I understood tool design. fools I was designing, which was foreign to their insurance. But luckily, the General Foreman was a very good personal friend of mine, Wally Hicksman. And so they finally agreed to let me do that for 1 month. And I worked in the pool with the men working on, for example, a lathe and a punch press and a shaper and a grinder and all that.
So there must not have been any other women there at that time. How did they accept you?
How did the men accept me? I had no problem. I'm friends with some of them today. They knew I was just trying to earn a living and was quite serious about it and accepted me. Same thing when I got into tool design. Of course, I used to take a lot of teasing, playful teasing, but it was all fun, and I'm still friends with some of those men today.
Did you kind of see yourself as a pioneer for women by taking these jobs?
Yes, because I was, as I said to you, the first woman that belonged to the American Society of Tool Engineers east of the Mississippi at the time. There was only one other out of the West Coast. And to be a member of the American Society of Tool Engineers, you had to work in it a minimum of 3 years, and you had to be a full-fledged designer. So I figured that was pretty much a pioneer. This was long before women's lib. They figured if they could accept me, maybe they'd accept others.
Who would give you support to go on with these things?
The superintendent, Frank Wyland, who we got to be very good plutonic friends. He was the one that gave me my very first promotion, and he was the one who was sort of behind me all the way up and down the line. Plus, J.R. O'Shea, the founder, I guess, was rather pleased to have a woman in these positions.
So there would be men at work who would give you support. What about your girlfriends?
Well, Harriet was the one that, she claims that she was the one that got me to go through school. She did encourage it, but that's when I started going to school at NAEP. But she encouraged me when I was trying to take blueprint reading and that sort of thing. But when I actually went to the actual college bit, I wasn't with her, I was with Charlotte.
So she gave you.
But Harriet likes to take all the credit, so I give it to her. I let her have it and be happy. I don't argue mood points.
I guess the one topic we haven't talked very much about is friends, and maybe we could start with talking about this woman, Marge. How long did you know her? How did you meet her? How did you maintain your friendship?
I met her at a party, and we just became very good friends.
Did you all ever think of becoming lovers?
No.
Why not?
Although she did make a passport one time when she was drunk. She tried to have sex very unsuccessfully. I wasn't in the mood, and she was too smashed. I just never think of her that way.
Why not?
I don't know. I like Marge. I wouldn't do anything to hurt her. I would do anything in the world for her. And obviously she for me, because she got there before my surgery and we stayed there after. I don't know. She just doesn't feel me that way. Just for good friends. She talks to me every single day.
She does. How long do you know her? When did you meet her?
I met her at a party about, we were trying to figure out the other day, about 22 years ago.
22 years ago, that's 1960 or 1959?
Yeah, I was going to Lucille at that time.
You were going to Lucille?
Yeah. And I met her at a party. I don't even remember the party. And Lucille and I and Joan and Marge used to go out together. Well, Joanie and Marge broke up due to Marge's drinking. She used to drink greatly to excess. And in fact, I even got her in the program for a while, and she goes to so many meetings because of the nature of her work. But she hated meetings, but she has, on her own, stopped drinking.
This is Marge?
Marge, yeah. In fact, I used to take her down to my house and try to sober up on the weekend. This was after she broke up with Joan. Try to straighten her out, and had many long talks. Now we rarely discuss drinking. She just doesn't drink. Once in a while, I tell her I'm proud of her. But she's really smashed. And she's a very brilliant woman, and I hate to see her destroy her brain cells that way.
Is she your age?
She's 58, 58, 59.
Mm-hmm.
So she's close to home. Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you do to maintain your friendship? Do you go out together sometimes? Do you mainly talk on the telephone? Do you go shopping together? You know what I mean?
Any of that.
Any of that.
Any and all.
Whatever.
I have her for dinner. I have her and Esther for dinner. Because she and Esther are going together. I'm not very happily. In fact, I'm really, I would say, living together. And they come up to the house for dinner. I go down there for dinner. She has two dogs. If I go away, she takes care of my dog. She and Esther, like when I go away the 5th of December, I'll take Molly down there. And
where are you going the 5th of December?
To Simcoe to see the lights.
Oh, right.
So I'm going with a straight group, mm-hmm. the other straight woman.
Mm-hmm.
Parties.
Mm-hmm.
Theater, concerts. I have a wide variety of interests.
Mm-hmm. Is Marge your best and longest friend?
Yeah, I'd say so.
And you all call one another every day?
She only calls me every day.
She calls you every day. You don't call her?
Occasionally.
Why is that?
I don't know. She gave me a call before I get around to it.
That's funny. Is she still working?
Yeah, she's got a very, very important job. My calendar's right on time. It's financial aid. Yeah. She's one of seven, which is recognized by the state of New York. And she also has an RN degree, which is why she came to stay at the hospital.
Well, I'm kind of interested as to why you all never became lovers if you're friends. Can you think a little bit more about it? See, in some cases, we've met people who have had lifelong friends that didn't become lovers because they were both femme or they were both butch. But in your case, that isn't the case because, you know, you were...
Well, she doesn't appeal to me that way.
Well, what is it that appeals to you and doesn't appeal to you that way?
Oh, generally it's a strong sexual attraction.
And you don't have any sexual...
No.
Why not?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you that. She's a friend, but I wouldn't want to think of getting in bed with her than I would getting in bed with that cat.
Uh-oh. That's interesting. And she the same with you?
Well, I don't know, because she has sent me... when I was sick, she used to send me a get well card every day, even though she talked to me on the phone every day. And even when I had my nerve block, she sent me this card, which I still have at home, about it had something about love in it, and it struck me rather funny, but I just sort of walked around it, and I said, that was a very nice card, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of the same ideas on things. I like Marge as a friend, but I wouldn't like her as a lover. I wouldn't be interested in her as a lover. There just isn't any sexual attraction there.
No, that's fair enough. If there isn't, there isn't, right?
There's a very deep friendship. I would do anything in the world for her. She would do anything for me, obviously, as she has been doing and done.
Do you ever see that old crowd from the carousel? Or the old crowd from the Ralph Martins? Or is that kind of...
I sort of drop around.
You drop
around? Well, Esther used to go to the carousel. Let's see, who else do I see? Well, I don't see too many of that crowd anymore. Other than it wakes.
Right.
Like when Skip died, I saw the whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sandy died. What, a month and a half ago, and a lot of the bunch were there, and we talked. But I don't hang around with them on a regular basis, no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you miss not seeing them?
No.
Why do you think you don't see them?
Well, number one, a lot of the butchers objected the time that I came down to Carol's in an evening gown. They thought that was horrendous.
20 years later, people still remember
that?
That's
right.
Oh, my God. How is
it? And after all, it just where I was happened to call for an evening gown, and so I had one on. It's not the end of the world.
You really think they still remember that 20 years later?
Oh, yeah. Because it was said that I wasn't really a true lesbian. I could do things like that.
Hmm.
Another thing, when I drank a lot, I withdrew a lot from people.
Mm-hmm. They drank a lot too, though, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are they still drinking, do you know?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Maybe I've just about covered... Well, I should ask you, do you have any other close friends other than Marge at the moment?
Oh, yeah.
Are they lesbians?
Some.
Are they as old a friend as Marge, or...?
Some.
Some. How did you meet them?
Some of them I met at Carol, some of them I met at the parties.
Mm-hmm.
Like the couple I told you about that have been together so long, and the one went out and the other just stayed home and kept the home fire burning and stayed alone, and the one came back. I was just talking to him the day before yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I live out at the lake.
What?
They live out at the lake.
Uh-huh.
And then Andy, Gladdy, her nickname Andy, she's broken up. She and her girlfriend broke up because her girlfriend went out with somebody younger. And Andy and I are still friends, and that goes back to before the war. In fact, I got her dad at Trico.
Is that right? So a lot of these women are friends from Trico. Is that true or not?
No. I again met Andy at a party, and she needed a job, and Curtis closed down, and so I got her into Trico.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marg and Mary, those two... I've known for years. Originally met at the party and we're still friends. See, these are all 20, 25 year friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think that it really happened. Unless, what's the difference between your lesbian friends and your straight women friends? Is there any difference?
Well, probably a difference in discussion.
A difference in discussion.
Things you discuss with a gay person, you wouldn't discuss with a straight.
Uh-huh. What about the emotional ties?
Well, Andy is a Swedish big butch, blue-eyed blonde. We hug and kiss each other every time we see each other, but that's it, period. I mean, it's a friendship, not an emotional or a sexual draw or involvement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to think of going to Danny, but I would again with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
But we're very good friends, haven't we, for years.
And you have the same kind of emotional ties, though, with your straight women friends, or not? Or are they more kind of distant?
Well, between your gay and your straight friendships, there's a difference in your speech and in your action. I wouldn't sit like this in a straight group. I would sit like this.
Is that right? You're that conscious of it.
Well, it's just that there's a dividing line between your straight and your gay.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's true. I'm not sure that I'm that conscious of it, so you really have...
Well, Harry pounded that into me many, many years ago.
Uh-huh.
How I smoked, how I held a glass when I drank, how I sat. Keep your hands out of your pockets. She tried very hard to make me acceptable to society, because I was a little tomboy.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Why was it so important to Harriet?
Because she was very conscious of the straight world. This is even today. At the age of 73, although right now she's in the hospital, very critically ill. In fact, Mary called 2 weeks ago, and she went in, 3 weeks ago, and she went into intensive care and suggested that I come out, and I didn't for the simple reason, unless you have a 7-day reservation, it costs you $680. And knowing Harriet, I knew that she wasn't going to die the next day, because Harriet's been critical before.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting better. If I felt she was really, really going to die and then Mary needed me, I would go out. Mary and I were very good friends.
Mm-hmm.
But, it isn't exactly the money. I have the money. It's just I hate to pay $680 when I can go out for $432 with a 7-day reservation or a 14-day reservation. Mm-hmm. And knowing that she was in the hospital, there was nothing I could do.
How much is it if you pay for 7 days in advance or 14 days?
It's around $400. Had I taken the night flight, it would have been $530 without a reservation. And I have no objection to flying nights. I've flown nights before across country. I just think $680 is horrendous. Have I answered all your questions?
I think so. I can't think of
it. Have I helped you any?
Yeah, I think so. And if we need any more help, we'll have to give you a call. But I think that's good. So we should say goodbye.